grace series. God is releasing grace in us as a body and to us as a people. And Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you're here. We praise you, Lord, that you're full of grace and truth, and that grace is something tangible of your power and favor and your blessing, Lord, that is resting upon our lives. And we pray you make us a people, Lord, of grace. Cause us to be a people who are full of grace and truth, just like you, Lord. And Father, as we look at the whole truth and the aspect about giving this morning, we pray that you'd give us a new grace to be givers, Lord, in every area of our lives, including financially too, Lord, that we'll become givers, Lord, of grace and faith. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We were talking this morning about giving in faith, and we're actually going to make it a two-part course this week and next week. Next week we're going to have a PowerPoint presentation, and it'll be done slightly differently. You know, what the Lord has done for us as a church in recent months is he's brought together about three or four people who've really felt called to come and minister in the area of finance in the church. And as we began to pray and meet, the Lord's clearly brought these people together to carry the responsibility with me for, I mean, we all carry responsibility for the church financially in some way, but to actually have a team who sees that this is a ministry in itself, to pray over the finances. And so it's not just a burden that, you know, a weight of responsibility that I carry, but it's being carried by others with me and for us as a church. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And what my prayer has been for many months, God, develop ministries in the church where people are worked together as teams in the church. And there's a number of different areas that are beginning to come up now and begin to work together. And I can see that it's going to produce a lot of great fruit. So I'm very encouraged about that.
Yes,
and you will be too, as you see the whole thing will develop. We're going to look this morning. Could someone come up the front and just read nice and loud Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 verse, I think it's just verse 38. Luke 6 verse 38. Once you've got it, if you come to the front and just read it on the, thanks Mark. Chief steward and bottle washer.
General dog's money. Luke 6:38.
That's it.
Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more.
Whoa.
Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
What a great scripture to start it off with, eh? You know, some years ago, when in my single days, I used to save money and then used to give it away. Since I've been married, that doesn't happen in quite the same way as it used to. We have various other responsibilities in life than when you're just single. But I'm just sharing something with you, that there came a time when I'd saved some money and the Lord said to me, I want you to give this as a gift to, and he named the person, and I'd been in prayer for this person for a while. And it turned out that this man, they had a mortgage, a young family, and he was struggling. And I didn't know he was struggling. I knew God had prompted me to do something about this. And I discovered when I gave him this gift, and for me it was a substantial gift. That means it was more than £10. It had a few figures in it, and it was more or less all that I had, apart from a couple of £100, I think, and in my savings. And when I gave it to him, I had no idea the importance of that moment of giving this gift for this man. And he'd, through no real fault of his own, he'd fallen into debt. Things had gone wrong in his business. And he had a massive tax bill, and he had various things he couldn't pay for. But this amount covered it all.
Hallelujah.
What a blessing that was.
Wow.
I think I got more blessed, actually. And it says, blessed, you know, you're more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. I got very blessed because I'd heard God, and I'd given away something that I could have hung on to and done something else with. But I gave it away, and I felt so liberated.
Amen.
And many years later, since we got married, we hit a point where we were in financial need. And we began to pray about it. And the amazing thing was that God began to provide for all the various needs that we had. And we didn't tell anyone. It's a good policy not to tell anyone. that you just tell God and just keep it between you and the Lord. And so we kept it before God and just began to claim his promises. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he does. And Amen. As we began to put our faith in God, we discovered that all of our needs were met over a period of time, but every need was met. And I didn't actually try and compare the exact amounts, but it actually amounted to a very similar amount. And God spoke to me and he said, do you remember what you did X number of years ago? And the Lord said to me, I've never forgot it. It was written down in my book, what you did. And now it's payback time for you. Pressed down and shaken together, running over. It's interesting, isn't it?
Amen.
I didn't make that up. God spoke to me and he said in the time of prayer, I'm just giving you back and more besides because you gave to me. And I knew there'd come a time when what you gave there would come back to you.
Amen.
See, we can never outgive God. Giving is one of the graces that God gives to us as believers. And I want just to talk for a few minutes this morning about some principles. We're going to talk about, just for a brief while, about tithing and about offerings. Now, I've never done that in the church here. I'm not one for talking a lot about money. You've probably noticed that, apart from taking up the offering every week. But there is a time to do this from time to time so that everyone understands the importance of giving and giving financially. And, you know, giving covers a whole of our lives. But we're talking this morning about money. Just turn to someone and say, money.
Money.
Money. You know, Jesus wasn't afraid to talk about money. He unashamedly spoke about it. And money in itself is a neutral commodity. It's bits of metal and bits of paper. The Bible says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Is that actually what it says? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So it's the love of money that's the problem. So providing that we love God with all of our hearts and we love one another and we love the lost and we love life in Jesus, then we won't get into this love of money, but we recognize that we need money to live on this earth, don't we? Yeah. At least most of us do. And therefore we need to be walking in faith in God and treat money the same way that Jesus did. And Jesus, you know, always carried around with him a purse. And who carried the purse? Judas, the guy who betrayed him. And Jesus knew he would, and he still, that's amazing, isn't it, that he entrusted Judas to carry the money, and he knew that he was having taken bits and pieces out of the offering. He knew that. Jesus knew that was going on, probably during those three years. He knew that there was some stuff going on that shouldn't have happened, but he waited. And the amazing thing about Jesus is that he carried this money so that there was always supply there for the needy and the poor. So never think that Jesus had nothing. Never think of Jesus being poor. We're going to look at this in a minute in Scripture because there's a wrong concept that Jesus was poor. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't have 1,000 bank accounts and Jesus didn't have a Rolls Royce either. But Jesus was rich.
Yes.
Rich in God, rich in God, as it were.
Yeah.
And actually, he knew how to handle money, finance, so there was always a plentiful supply there by faith. And I think with Jesus, I reckon that a lot came in, a lot went out very quickly. And this is how Jesus lived, that he didn't have it saved up or stacked away. But he did carry this purse, carried it in, to give to the poor and needy and to help those in need. And Jesus wants you to have more than enough.
Amen.
I meant God wants us to have not just enough. That's why we all need to be at work. That's why we all need to be working in some form or other, because when we work, God will bless us and we'll receive blessings for working, including obviously financial reward as well. Now turn with me to Genesis, please, chapter 14. Genesis 14 and verse 18. And it says here, then Melchizedek, anyone heard of him? Some of you have heard of Melchizedek. Funny name, isn't it? Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. So Melchizedek is actually, he's not an ordinary man, okay? He's actually, at the very least, an angelic being. Some actually suggest that he was actually Christ before he actually came to the earth. But whatever it is, Melchizedek is a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and he was a priest from heaven. He wasn't a human being. And he blessed him, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him, blessed Abraham, or Abram, and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tithe of all. So I want you to just get the picture this morning. Don't worry if you don't understand it all. There's this priest that comes from heaven that meets Abraham, who's just defeated a load of kings and armies. This is in the Old Testament, a few thousands of years ago now. And what happened was, as he was on his way, Melchizedek brings to Abraham bread and wine. Sounds a bit like Jesus to me. But he's a priest from heaven. He brings bread and wine, and it says, and he blessed Abraham. Blessed him because God was with Abraham. Abraham walked with God. Abraham had faith in God. And as a result, it says, Abraham, in his response to God's, no doubt God's blessing him and enabling him to have victory over his enemies, at this time, and the blessing that came from this Melchizedek, it says, Abraham gave back a tenth of all. So Abraham gives a tenth of all he's got as an offering back to God. And this happened in the early books of Genesis, before we ever get into the law in the Old Testament, with the laws of Moses, where things were written down and, you know, the establishing of God's order and so on. Now, come with me to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 6. Just bear with me if you don't understand what I'm on about this morning. You know I'm talking about money. And tithing. Tithing, the word tithe, what does the word tithe mean? It means a tenth. And so when we tithing is a principle in the Bible right early on in the book of Genesis. So it's a principle that if you look at it, it goes right the way through the Old Testament and it comes into the New Testament as well. And so tithing is a principle that God wants in terms of our giving. Okay? So a tithe is a tenth. So it means that God wants us to be thinking in terms of giving a tenth to him, to his work. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order or the line of Melchizedek. So it's saying the same thing, saying that this Melchizedek, that Jesus is in the line of Melchizedek, heavenly, and he's gone ahead of us, he's gone back to heaven. As he died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and went back to heaven, today he's reigning in heaven. This is our Jesus, our Lord. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest continually. Melchizedek. And then this all happened before the law. So this principle of tithing, Abraham gives a tenth of all he's got back to God. His sheep, his goats, his money. He gave a tenth of all and gave it to God as a sacrifice back to God. And gave it to Melchizedek. Now let's go to Hebrews. We'll carry on in Hebrews 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is, from their brothers, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. So just stop there. So when the law came, when Moses came, he got the law, the God's order of how he wanted things to be run. And Moses delivered the law to the children of Israel. And the Levitical priesthood, the Levites, were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Levites their duty was solely to be priests unto God and to minister on behalf of the people in the tabernacle, in the temple, and in the tabernacle. So their duty was a very spiritual one. So while everyone else got on and did their work and business, the Levites were solely given for the purposes of serving God and serving the duties in the tabernacle and so on. And they went into the tabernacle. They represented the people before God. That was what a priest did for their sins and sacrifices and so on. And so the way that the Levites lived is they actually collected or were given the tithe of all of the rest of the tribes of Israel. Does this make sense? And God instituted this as part of the Old Testament law. So tithing was before the law. Now we've got a slightly different kind of tithing, but it's still tithing. And this tithing is the giving of the tenth. So the rest of these tribes, every bit of increase they made, they gave a tenth of it and actually dedicated and gave it to the Levites. And the Levites then, out of their tithe, gave a tithe, right, another tenth, and gave it back to God, which went to Aaron. But let's just focus a minute on the tithe that they received. That tithe actually provided for them. It actually enabled them to eat and live, and provided for the services of the tabernacle. It actually looked after them, that tithe that was given. It also, that tithe was given so for the fatherless and for the widows and for the poor. So that came out of the tithe. Okay? So we're just establishing this morning that tithing is a biblical thing in Scripture, before the law and during the law, in the law. And then we also see that tithing goes on. Even Jesus talked about tithing in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, and he didn't say to the Pharisees and scribes, oh, you shouldn't be tithing now. He commended them for their tithing, but he corrected them about their hearts, really, the way that they were giving. So tithing, the giving of a tenth, is a biblical principle that has never stopped. There's nothing in the Bible that says, oh, by the way, it stopped here when Jesus rose again from the dead. There's no scriptures that say that at all. And so we understand that tithing, that biblical principle of giving a tenth, sometimes it's called giving of the first fruits, of all of your increase, is a biblical and a spiritual principle that we need to give God tithing. Now, give God a tenth. Now, so let's just suppose this morning that some of you are on benefits, that you actually, at this point of time, you don't have a job of work. We pray that every person in the church will have a job of work to do. But God still wants you to give on that, to tithe, to give a tenth of what you receive, because it's talking about what you receive. Any benefits that you receive, benefits from work or benefits from the government, God wants you to tithe on it. So God wants us to give that the tithe to his work. Now let's look at Malachi, or sometimes we call it Malachi. Okay, so let's go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. It's right at the end of the Old Testament, and we have no Malachi here. It's chapter 3, and we're going to, this is a fantastic scripture. This is Malachi, it's a great scripture. Malachi chapter 3. It's a prophetic scripture, actually. I've read it just the other day, and I thought, wow, this is a very strong scripture. I'm just going to read it all the way through, and then we'll hit it where it talks about tithes and offerings. Behold, I send my messenger, verse 1, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. So the Lord is interested in, first of all, he's interested in us, he's interested in people, he loves people, and he cares about their welfare and about whether they're receiving what they need. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. That's another word for that is repentance. But you said, in what way shall we return? So here's the Levites. God's people have turned away from God, and they don't think they have. And God says, look, you need to come back to me. And God says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So what God is saying to the people is saying that because they weren't giving a tenth of all of their increase, and because they weren't giving offerings to God, and an offering is something over and above a tithe. A tithe is a type of offering. It's the giving of a tenth. But when we talk about tithes and offerings, an offering is something over and above just giving a tenth. And God wants us to be giving tithes and offerings. You know, sometimes we have a special offering here, don't we, in the church. We have offerings at Faith Camp. There's other times when we are asked to pray about giving in a particular way. You may be prompted by God to, God just speaks to you in prayer, says, go and give someone that check, that bit of money that I've shown you to give them. No one else needs to know about it. And I know quite a bit of that goes on in the church too. So God is pleased with that. That's an offering. And the Lord wants us to give tithes and offerings. And if we don't, if we withhold a tithe, right, if we hold giving a tenth to God, what are we doing? Stealing from God. Because that tenth, think of it this way, that everything that God gives to you belongs to him anyway. We're only stewards of everything that we've got, your car, your home, everything, you're a steward of it. And one day God will require of you, how did you do with what I gave you? Did you make it work? Did you cause it to grow? Did you invest what I gave to you? And money is no different. And it's not just about putting it in the Abbey National. It's not a very good place to put it anyway. You know, with banks all falling all around, our faith needs to be in God, right? And the money that we do have belongs to him. And we just need to be wise about how we handle our money, and that this money belongs to the Lord. So when we receive our wage, when we receive a salary at the end of a month or whenever you get paid, God expects you to give a tithe on it. In other words, give a tenth of what you've received. Give it back to God. Give it to God. Give it to his work. And also to give offerings. Those are other amounts of money that God will prompt you to give from time to time. Sometimes big amounts, sometimes small amounts. But God wants us to be full of his grace, and God wants to release his grace upon us that we actually delight in giving our money to God and to people because we do it in his name. Amen? Tithes are not... So in what way have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse. This is a very strong word that God speaks here. You are cursed with a curse. Why were they cursed? Because they weren't doing something that God had initiated, something God had said, this is what you are to do. Disobedience brings a curse over you. And we don't want to be a cursed people, do we? We don't want to be a cursed church, right? We want to be a blessed church. And we are a blessed church, and we'll be blessed as we continue to give out of what God has given to us, a tithe, a tenth, and our offerings. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. They used to bring all the tithes into the storehouse where the Levites were. And then when those tithes were brought into the storehouse, it meant that the Levites were looked after, but also God's work was looked after. Does that make sense? Now, in the New Testament, we're not in the Old Testament law any longer. We're not living under that law any longer. But we're actually living in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. We're living under grace, but the principle of tithing still remains. The principle of offerings still remains. So what do you think is the storehouse? Church. Anyone think the storehouse might be the church? Yeah. Pardon? It's where you're fed. The storehouse is where you're fed. Now, hopefully that will be the church here. Okay? So if you're being fed with the word of God and you're part of this church, you're a regular part of this church, whether it's Crawley or East Corinthians, part of Kingdom Faith Church here, then God says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Bring your tithes into the storehouse, and that's where your offerings need to come as well. Sometimes God will prompt you to give an offering directly to someone else, perhaps even to another ministry, that's fine. But when it comes to the tithe, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. that there may be food in my house. So when we give with this kind of this understanding, I'm going to give into the storehouse is the local church that you're a part of. When you start giving your income, that tenth, and sow it with faith, what does it do? Well, it basically looks after things in the local church here. It includes, for me, includes a salary that comes that I don't dictate how much I get, but the trustees of Kingdom Faith determine about salaries. But it's not about so much about my salary. It's about making sure that those tithes go to pay things like the hall hire. They pay things for doing missions. And you'd be surprised how much it all costs. And that's not my job to do that this week. That'll be next week for others to talk about. But things cost money, don't they? Even to live, all of us, it costs us money. But God says, if you put me first, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, put that tithe in there first. Give, make the first thing that you give out of your what you receive, give it back to God. Sow it with faith into the work. That's why we say, when the offering comes round, so you put your faith in with that offering. Dare to believe God for something. Make it a prayer. Put something in there with that offering of prayer for someone to be saved, or prayer that there be a greater release of finances in your own life, in your own situation. Pray for a job to come, and put it in. Put your faith in there with your gift. Does that make sense? We were talking the other day about thank offerings. That some of the Africans do this. They're a lot better at it than we are. Is that when someone gets blessed and gets an answer to prayer, they actually give a thank offering, not just thank you, Lord, but they thank you, Lord, and then they bring some extra money and give it to the work of God as a thanksgiving offering. It's great, isn't it? So there's lots of ways in which we can give our tithes and our offerings, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. So what God is saying to us this morning, he says, look, this isn't hard. This isn't difficult. If you give what you're able to give, give what you have, and the principle of tithing is there and offerings, the Lord says, you can prove me in this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing into your own life that you will not be able to actually contain it or receive it. In other words, the scripture that we started with, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. You just try it. You do it without faith, nothing will happen. But you do it with faith and you see what God will do. You cannot outgive God. Amen. You can't outgive God. When you give to God in faith, however, whatever that is, and wherever you send your... When you do that with faith, it'll always come back. Yes. Pressed down and shaken together. The reward is enormous. And here the Lord is saying, you can test me in this, you can try me out if you like. The Lord says, if I'll not open for you, the windows of heaven itself will pour down such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then get this, in verse 11. In verse 11 it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So if you're in a financial difficulty, give. That seems a crazy thing to do, doesn't it? I've had situations before now where things have been really tight and I felt God say, give. And when we give at that moment when things are difficult, we're going beyond ourselves. We're not basing things on what we've got physically in our bank account now. We're going on what God's got in his heavenly bank account. And when we give with that kind of faith, God says, now I'm going to bless you. I'm going to show you something here. Not to depend upon your own resources, not to depend upon yourselves, but to depend upon me. And when we start to do that, you see God will pour down such a blessing and he will rebuke the devourer. You know who the devourer is? Satan. He's the devil. And the Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God doesn't want us to be devoured. Sometimes there's a gap that comes. For various reasons, we allow a gap to come and the enemy comes in to try and rob us. But God says, if you'll put your money in order. It's funny, isn't it, that money is probably one of the most important subjects, and yet we talk about it the least because we don't want to, you know, we're British, or I am anyway, I'm English. We don't want to talk about it, we don't make people feel we're after their money. Well, we're not. I'm not after your money, but God's after your heart. And the way that you know a person's heart is actually to do with money. The thing that most tells a person's heart, actually, one of the most revealing things is about their hearts is money. That's just the way God's made it to be, that money, and God wants us to have a pure heart so that that we can use that money to glorify him. So the Lord says that when we give in this way, that he himself will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Amen. Now just come with me now to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you getting the picture this morning? God wants you to be a cheerful, joyful, hilarious giver. That's what it says. We're actually going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. All about giving. I'm going to read this out of the Truth version. Now just listen to this. Brothers, we want to tell you about the grace the Macedonian churches have received from God. Despite the fact that they had to face extreme difficulties themselves, they still overflowed with great joy. God wants us to be givers with great joy. When we give, and that's not just about money, but he wants us to be givers with great joy. And that includes when we give our money to the Lord's work. They overflow with great joy and gave with such wonderful generosity. There is wonderful generosity. Regardless of their own dire poverty, I can assure you that they gave as much as they were able to give and more besides. On their own initiative, they begged us to allow them to share in the privilege of giving to their fellow saints. So they went far beyond our expectations, devoting themselves first to the Lord and then to us, being prepared to accept the direction God would give them through us. So we have encouraged Titus, who had originally inspired you to give, to return and help you complete this generous action. So Titus was coming to the church for a great big offering, a special offering. This wasn't tithing, this was offering that they were taking up for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem, I believe at that time, there was a famine. There was extreme poverty and need in Jerusalem. And therefore, that was with the Jews. Therefore, at that time, the church in Jerusalem was suffering. And so Paul said, I want you to take up an offering in the churches, including the church at Corinth. Take up a great big offering. Prepare the people to give with faith, with generosity, and with joy. So that when I come, you can give it to a group of us, and we're going to carry it and take it to the church in Jerusalem to help them in their time of need. What a great thing to do. And so this is what Titus was being sent to collect this. You've shown that you excel in everything, in your faith, in the things that you say, in your knowledge of God's will, and in truly longing to see his will for you fulfilled. Yes, you also excel in your love for us, so now also prove that you excel in this grace of giving. And God wants us to excel in this grace of giving. And I believe God has called us and brought us to a point now as a church where we're going to see an acceleration of our giving. Well, I believe it. I believe that God is going to cause there to be a release amongst us of giving in the church. Because we're a giving people, and it encourages me to see you and to see the way that you give to the Lord and to one another in the groups and outside of the groups, in relationships. But you know, God says he wants us to excel in this grace of giving. He's talking about money. And I believe there's a breakthrough coming for us, that when we break through in this area of finance, I believe that there's a lot of other things are going to get broken through as well. It's just the way God has designed it to be, that God wants us to excel in this grace of giving. I'm not ordering you to give, but I'm testing the genuine nature of your love by comparing it with the way others have been so enthusiastic in the way they have given. So God wants us, when we take up the offering on a Sunday, he wants us to, and at other times to, enthusiastic in our giving to the Lord and giving to his work. You're well aware of the nature of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrated in heaven. He was rich beyond measure, yet for your sakes he came to share the poverty of our humanity, so that now through that poverty you are able to share in his heavenly riches. I believe this to be the best course of action for you. Last year you were the first to express the desire to give to the saints in need, and you gave accordingly. Now complete what you began, to show that you're just as eager to complete the task. The amount is acceptable if given willingly. So God wants us to be willing givers. You only give what you have, not what you don't have. Our intention is not that you put yourselves in a difficult financial position in order to relieve the needs of others, but that there should be sharing among the brethren. And that will be true of us as a church, that we have in the church here, we have a benevolent fund, we have a mission fund, and we have a general fund. We have a few other things as well, where people have given for a specific purpose so that we're able actually to help people in the church and sometimes people outside of the church too. We're able to give, for example, to Tim and Rennie, who are out in the mission field. We give to them a set amount each month to support them in their work on the mission, and that's going really wonderful. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and just going to finish on this morning. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 1, I do not need to write further to you about serving your fellow saints in Jerusalem through this gift. I know you're so keen to help. I've been boasting about it to the brothers in Macedonia, telling them that for a whole year, you brethren in Greece have been ready to give. In fact, your enthusiasm has been catching and has inspired others to action. Now, you get the message. God wants us to be enthusiastic, zealous, joyful, willing, generous givers. And that's how he wants us to be about money, about the whole thing of giving our money to the Lord's work. Now let's just go down to verse 6. Remember this spiritual principle. He who sows a little will only reap, what does it say? A little.
A little.
And he who sows to bless generously will reap what? Generously. Generous blessings. But each person has to decide in his own heart what he will give. So we know that we're to give a tithe, but God wants us also to give offerings to the Lord. And that's entirely up to you when you decide to do that. Not reluctantly or because he feels under pressure to give, for God loves those who give willingly and joyfully. He's able to cause all his grace to overflow in your lives so that in all things, at all times, you will have all you need and much more besides, so that you will overflow in the way you bless others. As it is written, he has given generous gifts to the poor and his righteous actions will never be forgotten. The Lord supplies seed for the sower so we can have bread to eat, and he will also supply you with many opportunities to give so that you will reap a great harvest through your righteous deeds. As a result, you will be made rich in every way so that you will have even more to give when the opportunity arises. And many will be thankful to God for what they have received through your generosity. So you can see that this present situation will not only serve to meet the needs of God's people, but will also cause them to overflow with praise and thankfulness to God for his provision. At the same time, you will have demonstrated the reality of your love, and so they will praise God for your loving obedience, the outworking of the faith you claim in the gospel of Christ. They will thank God for you because of your willingness to share what you have with them and with others. So they will hold you before God in prayer because of this wonderful grace that he has given to you. The grace to give generously, just say generously.
Generously.
Willingly.
Willingly.
And joyfully.
Joyfully.
So thanks be to God for the greatest and most wonderful gift of his grace to us all, his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to read three verses out of the Amplified Bible, and this is a promise that God gives to us about our giving, when we give in faith. This is in 2 Corinthians 9, and it just brings out the meaning of the verses. It's tremendous scripture, just to encourage you to be giving with faith into the church, into the storehouse, and be prompted to give to others too, you know, offerings. That's beyond just the tithing. It says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. But he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully, right? Or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. You know, there's sometimes when we're in perhaps at faith camp or other times when we give offerings. Now, an offering puts you in a very delicate position. We know what tithing is about, that's a tenth. So we know we give a tenth and we do it with faith. But when it comes to an offering, I've heard the Lord say to me a number of times, when I've prayed, I've been very scriptural, said, Lord, how much do you want me to give? And do you know what he said to me a number of times? How much do you want to give?
Uh-oh.
Lord, how much do you want me to give, Lord? And he said to me, how much do you want to give? Do you hear what I'm saying? And sometimes we can over-spiritualize it. We need to ask God, of course. But the Lord will sometimes come back to you and say, well, how much would you like to give? Do you want to give stingingly, grudgingly, reluctantly, or do you want to give over and above? And last faith camp, we had this offering that we took up at faith camp, and I'd already decided what I was going to give. And I was about to give the offering, and the Lord said to me, how much do you really want to give? And challenged me, and he said, I want you to give double what you just gave there. Double it. See, the Lord has the right to speak to us about our giving, doesn't he? Let's listen to these words. Let each one give as he's made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, but to be a prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. And listen to this. And God is able. Just say, God is able.
Is able
to make all grace, every favour and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. That means he's going to take care of you. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. What it's saying here is God is able to make all grace and favour abound to you as you give. And he will make sure that you don't just have enough, but you have more than enough. Not just to take care of your needs, but to always have a little bit left over so that at any moment you can give to someone else to bless them. Does that make sense? That's what this scripture verse is saying here. God's able to make all grace come to you so that you have more than enough. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. Thus says the Lord. God wants us to be a cheerful, hilarious, faithful people who give our tithes and offerings. And I've just spent a bit of time explaining to you that the principle of tithing is there, but God also wants us to be giving offerings into his work with our faith. And he's made a promise. He's promised to bless the work here in the church, but he's also promised to bless you and to bless back into your life the blessings financially and materially too, so that you will have more than enough, so that you can actually be prospering in your way and give to others. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning, just as we close our meeting this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we give ourselves back to you this morning, Lord, we thank you for the joy of being able to give to you. And we pray, Lord, today, this morning, that you will enable each one of us, Lord, to be faithful in our tithes and offerings into the storehouse and be obedient to you when you direct us to give offerings and bless other people as well, Lord, on a one-to-one. Father, we pray, Lord, today that you'll take us through. We pray, Lord, that a new grace will come upon us. We pray that we will excel in grace this morning, Lord, to be a giving church. Lord, not just have big offerings here, but, Lord, so that we can do so much more, Lord, in terms of the work of the kingdom and seeing people being saved and set free. Father, because at the end of the day, it's all about people. And so, Father, we just pray this morning, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, just ask the Holy Spirit just to come this morning. Say, Holy Spirit, just come afresh. Come afresh upon me, Lord, in this matter of money.
And just say, Lord, cause me to excel in this grace of giving, tithes and offerings. Father, I pray you speak to me today as I wait upon you. Speak to me about tithes and offerings. Show me what I need to change. Show me how I can improve. And Father, I will do what you say. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you cause me to excel in this grace of giving. Giving in faith. Giving with joy. Giving hilariously. Generously. Willingly. For your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of offering. Thank him. Thank you, Lord.